Well, I know many of you have heard me say this before, but I absolutely loved look and find books when I was a kid. I did. The idea of like hunting and searching and looking for things was exciting. So I loved the I Spy books that inspired the altar, right? I love getting to be in the presence of one of those things that could have been one of those photos I looked through as a kid. I also love those little highlight pen drawings, right, with the little hidden pictures in there. Many of us, even as adults, still use them to kill time in the doctor's waiting room. They're fun. They're enjoyable. They've always enthralled me. Now, for weeks, I've actually been looking at this altar, this incredible altar, about creating the rhymes, marveling at the creativity of the objects on it, appreciating the layers of meaning it conveys, and often feeling nostalgic. You see, we've been following the example of the Magi these recent weeks, the wise ones of Epiphany, as we too set out in search of something more. Along the way, we have looked for more in scripture and prayer and music and relationship and service and worship, all incredible resources for the depth that we long for. And that's really what looking for more has been all about, depth. You see, finding something more isn't about quantity. It's about finding depth and meaning. And I don't know the last time someone told you this, so allow me to say it very clearly to remind you. You are worthy of a deep and meaningful existence. You are. You are worthy of something more in life. And I tell you, I am so grateful. There are so many different places and ways we can look for more, and we can do so together. And as we close out the series today, I wanted to look a little closer at what might be a surprising area. Right? We looked at some very beautiful, the scriptures and the music and the prayers, all great things. But I want us to look for more in the regular, everyday, mundane existence of our lives. I love that word, mundane. So many days that just describe so well, mundane. These last few weeks, we have looked for more in so many rich and meaningful places. And it makes sense that we should find more there. That's the whole point of these things existing. But what about Thursday morning on a Zoom meeting while you still have pajama pants on and you're on your third cup of coffee? What about Friday night, right, when you're picking up the toys that you asked to be picked up like 17 times and the dryer is buzzing and it's reminding you of that load of laundry that you forgot was even there, and the highlight of the entire evening to come is maybe a Law and Order rerun? Or what about your third afternoon this week just sitting at the table, looking out the window, both desperately wanting to spend time with people and completely dreading the process of having to plan and make it happen? Right? These are the moments where the idea of more ends up being so appealing, because these are the real moments. Could we possibly find more in those moments? Does the mundane have more within it? I believe it's essential for us to have this conversation. It's important to address the reality that there are a lot of times in our lives that just feel like filler. Right? It's the stuff that happens in between the things we're actually excited about. And then there's all that stuff in between. I tell you, this reality of like the high points and then there's all the other stuff has only been exacerbated by social media. Look at all the amazing photos and highlights of so-and-so's life. Yay! Those are just projections of the moments that mask the mundane, aren't they? All the things we don't see. I wonder what it would be like to have a camera capture someone's life every 47 minutes. And that's whatever happens in that exact moment is what gets posted. But the catch is, they don't know when that moment is. So there's no like, oh, 46 minutes, I better look interesting. No, no, no. I just want to see random snapshots of somebody's life. And I tell you, I don't think it would be the same. Can you imagine how fascinating and uninteresting that would be at the same time? Look, here's Brad getting a box of Cheez-Its out of the cupboard. Here he is staring at his phone. Here he is picking up an Amazon package off the porch, waving at a neighbor. Here's Brad brushing his teeth. Right? So fascinating and yet so uninteresting at the same time. But that is what life is. Which is why I want to go back to the altar for a moment. I have made no secret of my love of this altar's awesomeness. I show this altar to everyone. I send the photo and all the little riddles to my friends randomly. Like, people I haven't talked to in like 6 months will get a note. Hey, here's the altar at our church. Here's a riddle. Find this stuff. And they're like, hi. I'm like, I know. Oh. I love it. And for all the deep appreciation that I carry for it, there is a glaring truth that I have to acknowledge. This is just a bunch of random stuff. Just stuff. Like, if you don't know about our sermon series, you might wander into this sanctuary and wonder when the church garage sale is happening. But maybe that's why it's so powerful to me. Our altar is piled high with the mundane. This altar, this sacred centerpiece of our worship space, is buried underneath the boring and the benign. There's so much more here, because it's just like our lives. Right? That sacred spark, the divine image, the presence of God woven into each and every one of us. This is you I'm talking about. You know, there's a wonderful verse in Corinthians that says, "The temple of the Lord is holy, and you are that temple." Right? That sacred space in your life, what happens? It gets piled on with all sorts of random life stuff over time, and sometimes we don't even know if we can see the sacred part anymore. Now, yes, I will name. It isn't just random stuff. There's so many stories and memories to each of the items here, but on the surface, our lives can look like a collection of randomness that's ready for the garage sale. Maybe that needs to be my new description for a really tough week. Hey, Brad, how are you doing? My life is ready for a garage sale. I'm going to put that away and save it. But just as I've fallen in love with this altar, so too we can fall in love with the collection of experiences and stories and realities of our lives. These Monday, everyday moments can be lovable. Jesus loved them. Jesus fell in love with the experiences and the stories and the realities of life. I mean, that's what he was here for. He was here to be human, to experience and cherish what it is to be us. And he loved to stare at life, looking for something more in it. He was always using the most mundane imagery. I want you to take a listen to Jesus. Mind you, Jesus was asked to describe the kingdom of God. And this is how Jesus replied.
Jesus said, "This is what God's kingdom is like. It's although someone scatters seeds on the ground, then sleeps and wakes night and day. The seeds sprout and grow, but the farmer doesn't know how. The earth produces crops by itself. First the stalk, then the head, then the full head of grain. Whenever the crop is ready, the farmer goes out to cut the grain because it's harvest time." He continued, "What is a good image for God's kingdom? What parable can I use to explain it? Consider it a mustard seed. When scattered on the ground, it's the smallest seeds of all seeds on earth. But when it's planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all vegetable plants. It produces such large branches that the birds in the sky are able to nest in its shade." With such parables, he continues to give them the word, as much as they were able to hear. He spoke to them only in parables, then explained everything to his disciples when he was alone with them.
Jesus gets asked about the kingdom of God, the perfect, beautiful, justice like a mighty river, righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, lion and lamb living together, absolute joy, complete love, God's vision of everything that can and will be in our world. This is what Jesus gets asked about, and his response is seeds. Seeds! Small, brown, simple, dirty seeds. And not just in passing. He starts talking to, mind you, agrarian people about how seeds grow and what the plant looks like, as if no one has ever seen this happen before. Okay, so first there's a stalk, and then it starts to sprout, and then there's a full head of grain on it. It's like an Attenborough nature documentary without the glorious videography and soundtrack. Feels like this really funny moment on Family Feud, right? I can see Steve Harvey there. Okay, Jesus, we asked 100 people to describe the kingdom of God. Now it's your chance to tell us what the top answer was. We said, "How would you describe the kingdom of God?" And you chose seed. Survey says, I'm thinking big red X. I don't know about you. But it comes around again. Jesus doubles down. He follows one seed story with a second seed story, with an even smaller, less interesting seed. Oh, if the planting and growing imagery didn't do it for you, here's a story about mustard plants. What is he doing? How can you undersell God's kingdom? But what I find in his stories, in his parables, that is so simple, it's exquisite. is that he finds things that are so mundane to remind us how divine they are. You see, Jesus is inviting us to find deeper meaning in our everyday lives. To recognize that God's promise, God's vision, God's heart are not some pristine, set apart, far away place. But that God's vision and promise are right here and right now in all of our cluttered, messy, mundane moments that we call life. That's where God is. So instead of waiting for some picturesque moment, it's actually the time in between all of those moments that carries the most meaning. Because those are the moments that we are our truest, most honest selves. And that's where God shows up. The everyday moments where the strength and the grace of God truly are at work within us. Because just like those seeds that Jesus talked about, what God has in store begins to take root and thrives in those earthy, trod-upon places. So in our pursuit of something more, may we remember to take a moment and gather together all of the most human, most honest, most real parts of who we are. And remember that not only has God called them holy, but that we can look within them and find God's richest promises and greatest desires right in our own lives. We need but only look. Amen. Amen. It's the last week for a riddle, so I took it up a notch. There's a couple of these that I expect some of you will have to ask me about. No one has yet. Apparently, they've all been too easy. Here is this week's I Spy riddle. Again, it's on the website, in the digital bulletin. You can see the picture in every single week's riddle and send them to your friends. I spy a pen that's holding something up, an almost unused spool, a place to store your fizzy drinks, and a very helpful tool. Have fun with that.